recorder going. This is a meeting of the Nye Beach Commercial Parking District. Derek Toko, staff.
Wendy Engler, Nye Beach Wine Cellars.
Kathy Cleary, Toujours Boutique.
Melissa Roman, Public Works.
Ted Jones, Public Works.
Dave Team, Nye Beach Suites.
Tim Groth, Public Works.
First up was an update on the design of the Northwest 3rd, Northwest 6th sidewalk project. So,
okay. Moving along, I think the last meeting was a month ago, more or less, 2 months ago. And at that time, some what I call locations were discussed on 3rd Street and 6th Street. And we've done some additional work to evaluate the locations on north side versus south side and so forth. And as of right now, at the level, or at this point, I guess we should say feasibility, workability, engineering, you've got the same drawing up here, is the current thinking is that the most of the improvements on the sidewalk would be on the north side of 3rd Street from Nye West, and that we'd have to have a crossover and have the sidewalk improvements on the south side from Nye out to 101.
I know one of the goals is to try and have a contiguous sidewalk on one side all the way, but because we have such bad embankment issues in two locations, that you can build so much more sidewalk than you can retaining walls,
yeah,
that because you're crossing at a controlled intersection at Nye and 3rd Street,
yeah,
it made sense to do that.
Yeah.
And then it's a much more pleasant walking environment,
totally,
too.
Completely. Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, we had considered that possibility in the first place because it seems so steep along there. So I think that's great. And then are you going to include that piece that goes up to the library?
Yes.
Because that is
that's
that's really great.
That will tie that thing in there well. The challenge that particular alignment is, when we have talked in the past, is that the power for the lighting is primarily on the south side, and the Cobra head lights are on the south side. But I know Melissa's been working with the PUD to try and figure out how we can incorporate lighting into that new alignment. So I don't know if you can give an update on where you're at with them.
Yes. I walked it with Troy the other day, and moving it to the south side is possible, but it means adding a couple of transformers, which bump up the cost of it. And so we're kind of priced way out of that $14,000 that he originally talked about, but it is possible to do it if the money is available and we decide to do that.
Well, and as we're taking a look at these alignments, part of the reason that we're trying to make the overall cost of the sidewalk improvements less is that we may have enough money still to do the lighting improvements and the sidewalk improvements, not just necessarily look at the source of funding that was, I think, $14,000 for just the lighting improvements and then all the little pieces that went to the sidewalk improvements, but look at them as a whole, combine the projects with both the lighting and the sidewalk, and we may have the options to be able to do everything. And so we're not quite there with final cost estimates, but we're getting there. We did an order of magnitude cost, and it looks like we'd be able to do both. I haven't seen where those light locations would be, but Melissa's working through that with PUD right now.
Yeah, we didn't really work out a detailed design until we dealt with just the cost of it. And again, once we figure out where the sidewalk is going to go, then we can do more of a intelligent lighting design. But right now, we figured basically 1,200 feet linear area lighting. So, and that's just on 3rd Street. We didn't do anything with. But I haven't talked to the other utilities to find out. We know we have a Quest line that runs through there, so it's a matter of still finding a path for the lights. But we did get a rough idea of how much we would cost to put power sources and how far we could go with it.
Yeah, pretty significant impact to have the lights on the north side financially.
Well, there are two places. There's at the wellness building, there's a transformer, there's a power source there, is that right? And then Doug Fitz had buried power for the PUD when he redid something here at the trailer park.
There's a big transformer right there.
Okay.
For sure. But
so what about
PUD knows where all those power feeds are, and so it's just what it really ends up being is city says, PUD, we'd like lights here, 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 and here. What's the cost to get there?
Yeah.
more runs more along those lines. They'll do anything we ask them to do. We kind of go do this little bit of a back and forth thing to see what makes sense. And so I think one of the goals of our meeting here is to essentially get a blessing on alignment so that we can go ahead without getting the PUD to spin their wheels and give us a more complete design to put the lights where we'd like to see them.
To give a sense of impact, I mean, there's for the same configuration that was on the south side, it was originally proposed for lighting. To do that on the north side, it's what, over three times?
Oh, yeah, at least.
It's over three times more expensive. And that's with PUD's input, and, you know, that's not us figuring the numbers. That's their direct input on that.
Because when you and I walked with Troy, and he said if they could hook into this power thing here, and we have the permission of Sidney Grimstad, who owns this building. And Doug Fitz said he had buried power for the PUD some years ago that they haven't used. Burying those two pieces of information, would that make a difference?
I'm relying on his expertise to develop that cost estimate, and it was over three times more than what it was on the south side. I don't know, maybe something's changed. Or
we walked down there. It has a lot to do with existing load and added load.
Mm.
So, yes, there is a transformer there, but whether or not it can handle an existing load, I was thinking we'd have to do more research, but not to plan on that. And then we'd have to connect up to the other, because they can only run so many feet before you lose your power load and your lights no longer, they just become dim bulbs. So you have to get power close enough, and that's part of the issue.
Ron, when we can commit, relatively speaking, on alignment like this, then we can get into the details with him. We don't want to have him go through all those iterations until we decide what he wants to be, because that's not his job to do all that work on our behalf. So one of the issues with this particular alignment is on the corner of 3rd and Highway 101, there is a muffler shop, or is it a transmission shop there?
Yeah.
That's where the sidewalk does this.
Yes.
We would like to talk to that business owner and find out about redoing that sidewalk in there and actually straightening out the alignment of the sidewalk so we don't have all those crazy drops right in front of the business, basically moving the sidewalk out to where the rest of the alignment is. It's still pretty steep in there, but it's consistent. That it doesn't meet ADA grades necessarily, but we're not necessarily obligated to an existing street. But we haven't approached the business owner on that yet. I would appreciate if you would kind of keep that under your hats so that we can approach him and discuss what options might exist to do that. That's kind of the bad part about this alignment. The rest of the alignment on 3rd Street works out pretty well.
If you do widen the sidewalk, is there an option for doing an ADA loop in there?
You could. You don't have the money.
Like they've done.
We did those switchbacks out in Adelin Drive. They're pretty darn expensive.
Yeah.
And you would end up losing a bunch of parking for him right there, because right now he pulls up at angle. We haven't gone through all the iterations on how that would work. But right now he pulls up at an angle parking in front of his business there. And if you did, say, a switchback in there, you'd end up losing all of that space in front of his building. And there's driveways. There's like two or three garage doors in there.
Yeah.
It could happen, but I just don't really think it's necessary for that short a little of a piece there. We're not trying to make an ADA compliant sidewalk through here, because none of the rest of this is ADA compliant. All the other hills are all too steep.
Yeah.
So they're trying to do something very isolated in that corner. And it's something that could be looked into, but I just don't really see the purpose.
As long as it's not required.
Were you talking about doing away with the diagonal parking?
Or yeah, mean, was probably end up going parallel, but he would still have some sort of driveway approaches in there. Mm-hmm. You know,
because I walk up and down that quite a bit, and those spots are full a lot of times. It's well used diagonal parking. So
yeah, but
they can park across the street too, couldn't they?
Yeah, there, I mean, he could do parallel parking all up and down 3rd Street. Let's put it this way. It's public right-of-way.
Right.
The city could build anything that the city wanted to there. We're not going to force our hand in there, probably, but it's public right-of-way, and it's an unusual place for angle parking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically in opposition to the overall public good of the sidewalk there, if you want to look at it that way. We just need to talk to them. That's why I don't want to leave the room, because we want to work and make whatever will work for that business work, but in the same time, he's not going to be able to keep angle parking because it conflicts directly with what we're trying to do.
Well, keeping the continuity of the sidewalk would be really nice.
Yeah, that's an important thing there.
Yeah.
You know, we could put the sidewalk on the other side of the street, but there's an embankment, and we have to work up against that that gas station there, and then the wastewater plant's right there again. So it's easier to deal with an ugly piece of sidewalk that probably should be dealt with anyway than it is to try and deal with all those embankments.
Well, plus, that was the only diagonal there is. Yeah.
Well, he could get nice driveway approaches, and we could fix up the front of the building, and he could end up getting a nice thing, but he's not going to have all that angle parking there. And so it's all the trade-off, what you can get out of
it. And it may not be people parking for his business. It could be Pioneer Printing also.
It could be Pioneer Printing. We'd have to talk to them and find out what might work. So.
And then is the new 101... sidewalk going to go, or crosswalk going to go there?
That's actually proposed to go on the north side of the intersection. So they would have to actually do a crossing of 3rd Street there again.
Yeah.
But the reason it's shown on the north side of the intersection is there's no left turn movement coming southbound. And so we can put a center island in there without restricting any turning movements. That's why it's being proposed to be moved.
That would be great.
So what that actually looks like is yet to be determined. I mean, we just found out that you get the grant funding, so now we're going to go through the whole process of putting in an ICIP, finding our match dollars, going through the design process. We don't actually know if we have to have an ODOT certified engineer do that design for us or not. If that's the case, then we have to contract with somebody, and away we go. But that really wouldn't impact what we do here in terms of the alignment of the sidewalk. I probably would just, as much as possible, ignore the crossing piece of it because we can get this all done and then deal with how that ties into the sidewalk later.
Well, I, for one, am thrilled that you've moved it to the north side because it has that boulevard look. When you look down from here, it just makes sense to have it be on that side of the street. And I'm thrilled that's what you've come to because that's really what we wanted in the first place.
So are there any other updates that we need to do on the project itself?
One thing that I talked with Troy about the other day, and that was in the plans for the overall Nybeach streetscape since 2000 when they did the street improvements, was having lighted big posts or some kind of an entrance marker here because Herbert and Third is the official boundary of Nybeach. Mm-hmm. And so if we just got the electrical supply put in right there at that intersection, so in the future when we get funding for some big kind of entrance posts that go, that they match the arch posts or something, or they're similar in style to that, that we could have this lighted entrance. So I think
we can ask them how that works. I would think that you would be able to tie into whatever your existing street lighting network is there, because it's not necessarily a huge increase in power demand. We just have to make sure that in the future we're proposing lights on this corner, so whatever design we end up with, we'll make provisions for that in the conduits.
Right, that's what I mean, not, and just get an estimate from Troy.
So just keep that in the back of your mind, Melissa, when you're talking to him, that we'll want to make sure that we'll have lights in that corner. Because we'll probably want to have lights on the corner anyway. They'll just get switched out to whatever you end up having in the future. Because every corner, we're probably going to want to make sure we have decent lighting on. I think there's already cobras on all the corner. We'll probably put another light on the opposite corner.
Yeah, the cobras are on the south side. So
yeah, so we may have an acorn on the north side. Is probably all we'd end up doing, and then we could switch that out to whatever the decorative lighting in the future would be.
Great.
Pretty easily, because
the
system's already in. It's just a matter of going and tying into the conduit and putting the junction box in and putting in whatever decorative lights can be there.
Well, and that's part of the motivation's the wrong word. Part of the impetus for the transformers on the north side is to make sure that there's enough load for the lighting and future development.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And what kind of width are you looking at? I mean, down here it's about 10 feet, and then in front of the wellness center, it's got the grassy parking strip and the sidewalk.
We're probably going to use a 5-foot sidewalk because we're dodging so much existing infrastructure. In some places, we'll be right behind the back of curb. In other places, we'll probably have a boulevard, depending on where the power poles are. Because there's some places where the power poles are right behind the back of curb, and then it makes sense for us to be offset. You get down into, west of Brook Street there, and if you take a look at it, I think what they had done was there was a sidewalk with a 5-foot boulevard strip, and then they infilled that with concrete. It kind of looks like there were two installations in there. And then you get to the east there, there is a boulevard green strip in between the sidewalk and the back of the curb. And it's going to vary a little bit. And as we get into the details of the plans, then we'll show that, and we'll come back with a preliminary plan, so probably a 60% design. So you can see, between this block and this block, it's going to look like this. Between this block and this block, it's going to look like that. When you get on the south side of 3rd Street here, on the west and the east side, there's a bunch of that sidewalk that's already in that's 5 feet wide, and that's a little bit more of an infill thing because there's retaining walls behind it and things like that. That's the hard part about going in and putting in a sidewalk on an existing street, is we're dodging all the stuff that's already there. In some places, we have enough room between the poles and the back of curb to fit the sidewalk in, and other places, we have to go on the back sides of the poles and we have to make it work. In some places, we're going to have to swoop the sidewalk around it because it's 2 feet from the back curb, you know.
That's especially true on 6th
Street. That's 6th Street. You'll see a lot of that on 6th
Street.
Yeah. 6th Street, we have fences we have to move. They're out in the right-of-way. Those are all details that we just have to work out as part of the construction, so the contractor knows what to do. But once we work through those details, then you can see how that ends up working.
Yeah, Tim, could you talk just briefly about check-in points, you know, next steps, so to speak, and you know, on this project and what you see in terms of check-in with the parking district?
My anticipation now is that since everybody seems comfortable with this alignment, is that we'll go and finish out our due diligence, which would include talking to the business owner in the corner of 3rd and 101, getting the rest of the information from the PUD. And when we have a pretty good idea about what that lighting system is going to look like and what some of the details are in the sidewalk, Melissa can start putting together the plan set. And what we'll have is what I would consider about a 60% design. Typically in design, you have a 30% review, a 60% review, and a 90% review. And the 60% review pretty much has all the details sort of ironed out for the most part. It's not finished because there's some opinion left in there. And so my expectation is that once we work through all these other details that are remaining, we'll get that plan set together, and then we'll give you a notice and come to the whatever corresponding meeting that would be and say, this is where we're at. Kind of think now, forever hold your peace sort of stage, because once we go to 90%, that's when we're creating our bid documents. And at that point, we're pretty much set in stone what we're going to do. And so I'm not exactly sure what that time frame would be. I don't expect it to be too far in the future, now that we got some marching orders here today.
Let's define that a little bit.
I'm not going to define time frames. It's sometime in the future.
I'm good with that one. It's not too far.
I'm not expecting months and months and months down the road. I'm expecting sometime this spring we'll come back, because we want to bid this thing, you know, mid-spring, so that we get the contractor out here in June-ish, May-ish to do some work, July-ish, when we get some good concrete weather, you know. So that's our expectations in terms of time frames. But we're not going to pin down any exact days when we're going to have this done, because we're shuffling and juggling tons of stuff. And we get into this one as we get into it and the time allows, and we have an idea when we want to bid it. I'd like to see this bid about the same time we do the stuff under the bridge, because if we bid the two jobs together, we'll get better prices. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go hand in hand. You know, if we get real far in this one or way behind in the other one, I'm going to put the brakes on this one. We're going to go back to the other one and get those plans done, and we'll move them both forward at the same time, because everybody ends up winning at the end of the day, because we get better pricing and we can do more. So,
is there, in your plan, is it just assumed that you would go as wide as possible anywhere along this section and possibly go to a 6-foot sidewalk?
We could go to a 6-foot sidewalk if we have the money.
Okay.
Again, I think a lot of what's driving that is what's out there. And that's, we haven't really thought about that to a lot of detail. Uh-huh. Once Melissa goes and starts drawing in exactly what it's going to look like, we're like, wow, it doesn't make sense to do a 6-foot sidewalk. Or, yeah, we got lots of room. We have 6-foot sidewalk and we have the money, so we might as well. We're not quite at that decision-making paradigm yet.
Okay.
I mean, I would love to get 6-foot sidewalks in if we have the money and the space. Let's put it that way. I don't think there's any reason why we wouldn't.
We've got a lot of compoles on 3rd Street. It depends entirely on where they are. It's going to have a huge impact.
Oh, the poles?
Yeah, the poles kind of drive everything.
But aren't they closer to the street than they are?
They're all over the place. That's why on one block it'll be, the sidewalks are literally going to move back and forth, I think.
Yeah.
There's not much way we can get away from that.
What about, but the plan is to move those Quest or Comcast poles, isn't it?
Nope.
Because when we talked to Troy, he said,
okay,
usually they're just, yeah, those, they're
not
those
necessarily
little
that easy. We'll make them move where there's no, where there's a clear conflict and there's nothing we can do about it. But there are literally probably 100 poles down these two alignments, and we can't have them move them all in exactly the place that we want them to. I mean, I could force them to do that. They don't have it in their budget, and it would push this project off into sometime next year. So we physically have the ability to force them to move the poles, but we walked this with PUD, and we talked about the poles that have absolutely no choice but to be moved. You know, all right, we can do the alignment here, and we can get a nice alignment, and it'll work great. In this place, we have no choices. As an example, down here on the corner of High Street and 6th, on this corner, there's a PUD vault and a power pole there. There's absolutely no options whatsoever about having that moved, and it is a hugely expensive move for them. Hugely expensive. And so we talked about that and said, okay, I'm not sure if I have money in my budget to be able to move something like that this year. How can we make sure that your project and our project work together? Those are details that we need to work out with PUD. And we're not quite at that level of detail yet.
What I was talking about, there's about five, I think there's just five poles. Okay. Kathy, along between Cottage and Nye, I think, that when we walked this with Troy, he said it wouldn't be too much trouble for them to move that to the south side.
Those aren't PUD poles.
I know they're not. They're Quest or Comcast.
Right, but PUD can't speak for Quest.
Yeah. See, I want to touch on something here. You need to let us communicate with PUD on design details like that, because it frustrates them when they're getting information from you and talking about planning for the project, and they're working with us and talking about planning with the project. And I'm going to make a request that you just let us communicate with the Public Utilities District on this thing. We're not at the level of detail to tell them what poles they need to move yet, because we were just really deciding, okay, what are the things that absolutely limit our alignment? Now that we've done that, we're going to actually go out and draw it in and say, okay, these are the conflicts that we have, and we will talk with PUD about relocating those, because some of those poles are going to be necessary to provide power drops. And that's something that Public Works needs to be able to coordinate with. I have no problems with you contacting PUD for future planning on lighting in the areas, but when it actually comes into the project details, I'd like you to let us communicate with them, because it frustrates them when they're getting information from multiple sources, and it needs to come from Melissa. She's the point of contact on this project for PUD, and when we, again, now that we're at a point where we have an alignment, we can discuss lighting options. She'll get costs and options from him, and we'll come back and we'll discuss what those are. And that's the right chain of command for that, if that's appropriate.
Yeah, I think that's fine. It's just that over the last year, we've had Troy out three different times to just discuss what options there are and everything. So when Kathy and I were with him once and we heard one thing, and then it seems like we're hearing something else, it's confusing for us. So I think
that's because
we were not
privy to your conversation, and so we need to work through that with them on the design component of it. And we may end up getting to the same point that you're at, but we have so many more things that we need to discuss with them just on.
Right. Yeah.
You know, now we're talking lighting on the north side of 3rd Street from Nye Street down to Coast. And what is the impact of that to PUD? We don't want to get them going too much. We work with PUD on all kinds of stuff, and they have only a limited amount of time. And we don't want them to spin their wheels until we know this is what we need.
Right.
That's why talking with them conceptually about projects in the future, no issues. But when we get into the project details, you could let us just do the communication with PUD from this point forward. That would be
really
helpful.
That's great.
I'm fine with that. So we're just gathering information, you know, for what we as a group are trying to plan too.
So and that helps Troy because he's got one point of contact. He knows exactly what the expectations are and what we're looking for. There's no confusion on his part. It helps us so that we have one point of contact. And, you know, we have a design process that we go through. We have lots of work to do and a few people to do it in. And we're going to give you a really nice project. But you need to let us be able to do what we do.
We've talked about getting down lights on the acorns. Should we go through the city council on that to get that mandated? Or can we put in a request?
Down lights?
To get the acorn down. Yeah,
they don't have hoods for their lights at the moment.
That's a different,
PUD doesn't even make those for their lights or have those for their lights right now. And what would end up happening is you'd have to have custom lights. And if you end up with custom lights, then the city would have to own them.
No, that's almost a pitch to PUD, to their board.
They have.
I mean, really, because you're talking about the Acorn lights are part of their inventory. So to get PUD, really you need to raise it to the PUD folks, the board, about, you know, should PUD be stocking a dark sky compliant type product. That's
you can petition to the city council to ask the PUD that.
Yeah, you can do it that way too. Yeah.
But I mean, what I'm trying to tell you is that the PUD has a certain amount of lights that they have, and those are the ones we use.
Yeah.
And at this moment in time, they don't have any, you know, dark sky friendly lighting arrangements for their Acorn lights. So we have this Acorn light we can use at this moment in time. If they want to change that, that's great. I think there's probably stuff that they can get, or different lights that they can move to that would work better.
Yeah.
But
they had an experimental one in Toledo.
It would seem like a good idea to approach city council as a citywide encouragement to, you know, work PUD to look at down the line as lights are replaced, try to get some kind of structure.
Yeah, just as they're replaced.
Try to get something that says this is what we'd like to do is move towards this as it's going. And that would be, seems like going through city council to say that as a policy or as a, not a policy, but as a direction we'd like to see happen in the future would be the most streamlined way to, so it doesn't muddy projects like this, but yet gets it done in the future.
So on this sidewalk here, is there much lighting that will be included there?
No lighting on the 6th Street side.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
There's quite a number of overhead lights in that corridor there. So overall lighting, I haven't looked at every single spot along 6th Street there, but it's a pretty well-lit street.
Is it?
I think the only dark area is
right where the trees there.
I think.
Yeah.
And I believe there's a light on the corner of High and... There's a light right there.
That's what I say.
And I think there's a light right there, but it drops here. So fast and it's so many trees that that's why it gets so dark in there.
Yeah.
It is dark in there, though. I've walked that at night and it is dark.
It is very dark. Very dark.
Is there anything that could go in just as a electrical supply there before the sidewalk goes in? So, like, if we could put a few lights there in the future?
We should maybe, when we're talking about relocating poles down there, we should maybe talk with Troy and see if we can get some additional lighting in that stretch in there. See what he can suggest. You know,
yeah,
I mean, there's power
well
there. It's just a matter of hooking up the light.
That is dark.
Dark in there.
Yeah. And steep.
And it'll be interesting to put lights there because it is so steep. You have to raise your lights in order to square up
that's
the bottom.
Right, yeah.
So you're going to have protrusions in your sidewalks.
Well, we have quite a bit of right-of-way there. I wonder if they could set that light back a ways, but then it's blocked by the trees so bad.
Yeah, so it
but it's really narrow.
If
we have lights on the other side, we might be able to get enough light. If we have the light pole on the north side, because that stretch in there is so narrow,
yeah,
it might be enough light.
It might.
And then we won't have a protrusion. But the power's all on the south side.
Yeah,
we'll have to work through the detail
with
PUD. We'll work through that stuff. We'll look at the light on the pole.
And improve safety, even traffic safety a little bit through there.
Mm-hmm. Also, we're gonna work on the road a little bit through there to get a better line of sight for the drivers.
Mm-hmm. And we need to take a look at a crossing in here.
Yeah.
And so when we have that crossing in there and the signage, we would want to deal with the lighting issue.
It does show that. That's just an earlier question.
Yeah. So there'll be a crossing in that region right there. So. Any other design questions we have at the moment? Otherwise, we'll keep moving forward. And when we have something that's a little bit more concrete, we'll come back to you and discuss it again.
Are you going to put a boulevard strip anywhere along here, do you think?
Good,
or will it just
very
depends
well
on? Okay, because I think that would be great if it works
it's
out.
It's driven on what's in place.
Mm-hmm.
If there's poles right behind the back of curb, it's likely we'd have a boulevard strip in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we would have a nice straight alignment without having to go around
mm-hmm.
poles.
Mm-hmm.
Other places the poles are set back, and without removing and relocating all the poles, we'd go right behind the back of sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
In this region, having a sidewalk right along the back of curb works really good because people get out of their cars and step right into the
right
sidewalk.
There.
And then nobody has to mow that piece. The
right,
problem is
right.
Nobody ever wants to mow those. So.
Yeah. Which brings up a question. This looks so great with all the vegetation that you cut back there. Is that something that can be maintained going
mm-hmm.
forward?
Yeah.
Because that really changes the feeling of the street, too. Is it lighter?
So
it's brighter?
I haven't been down there yet.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah, it looks great.
We took a whole bunch of that vegetation off. It looks wonderful.
If you
wonderful.
Notice it's starting to get looking pretty scraggly, we'll just cut all the grass and then we'll go on.
Cool.
They have an arm mower.
Oh, that's nice.
That's what they use for those kinds of things.
Yeah, well, it looks really good.
And once you get started, then it to maintain it is reasonable.
It keeps the, not that that was necessarily a huge problem there, but it kind of keeps the transient population from camping in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was going to say, how many camps did you chew up?
Yeah.
I think there were some up in there.
Yeah.
Could you use that across from the arch? There's a lot of overgrown vegetation on the bank there, but it's close quarters.
Private property. We won't do it on private property. Won't even touch it. Won't even go near it. Well, the right of way stops. Right of way stops before you get to all that vegetation. So you can kind of see the right of way if you stand along the front of those businesses.
Yeah,
there.
It's right along the edge of the.
Yeah, so the businesses are
they right cleared back to the edge of the right of way is all they did there, and we won't go into brush clearing on private property. The implications for a piece of equipment like that are just you don't even want to go there.
Okay.
So, because it's pretty destructive. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you watch him do that, yeah. I mean, there's stuff flying everywhere with that unit.
Not a delicate.
It's not delicate.
Pruning job.
It's pretty nasty for a while.
It's called a flail mower for a reason.
Oh. One step more than a brush hog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty. That's why that old cab is encased.
Good idea.
I have a question about this section. You'll have. When you have this, you could separate this out as a separate budget item, couldn't you, just that section? Because I wondered if we could do that, depending on the cost or whatever, do that as a separate project sometime.
Instead of including it now?
Yeah, just if the cost is prohibitive.
This is the opportunity to get this project done. Those windows don't open up very often.
So. Yeah, we have system development charges that are going to pay for at least half of this project.
Right.
And it makes a lot of sense to clean this up at the moment. And really, the only piece that actually has any significant expense to it is this piece. This is just moving some mailboxes and doing a little bit of infill of sidewalks. And even this is not all that expensive. We're just talking a little bit of curb and the sidewalk again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's more of a negotiation piece of it than anything.
And, you know, on the bicycle pedestrian committee side of it, where we've talked about that, one of the things we're really encouraging is that we don't have these stop-go sidewalks and projects. There's so many places where you can't get there from here. It stops here. Mm-hmm. If we've got the opportunity to fill a 50 or 75-foot gap, we're really encouraging the city to do that and not do the haphazard stop-go stuff, to connect everything up.
Yeah. And this is going to take care of the nice one from the library.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very exciting.
This will connect three areas that we've been talking about on our committee for
years.
For 3 years. Actually, it'll connect four. This is another one we've talked about at Sixth Street. So,
On all these mailboxes here, I was looking at those the other day. Do you just notify the property owner that they're getting moved back, and then
we don't know where they're going to end up yet? It's a more post office question.
Oh,
because they may choose to lump them together even.
Yeah, it's probably would be the best is approach the post office and say, we have problems with mailboxes along this whole stretch. What would you think if we actually had just a central box? And that would be a lot easier to deal with. And we can put it in an area where the sidewalk can go around it then instead of doing this all the time.
Yeah, that would make way more sense.
I've done that on other projects. It works really well. They're all rental units. You know, the guy doesn't like it now. The next guy who moves in 6 months isn't going to know any different.
Yeah.
And they actually have done it that way on... I remember where that big box was. There's another box that serves a whole bunch of properties. That's a central box in other places.
Is it the apartments? It's the CSC apartments.
Yeah, so those are the details that we'll work through.
I think
it's those. Yeah. The CSC apartments put those in.
Yeah. Doubles into details in something like this. We've got lots of property owners to talk to about relocating fences and all kinds of things.
And that is nice because that is rental property over there. Mm-hmm. And you've got rental property. Quite a bit of this is. There are some single families, but...
I think it's great.
Yeah, that looks fabulous.
Post office will dictate what we do. Mm-hmm. People don't own their own mailboxes, whether they think we do or not. Post office drives how they do delivery.
But it comes out, then that'll come out of the sidewalk budget, the cost of the post office.
Yeah, it's almost insignificant, you know. Those kinds of things are just incidental items. You know, they add up. If you add them all together, they add up. But, you know, a big mailbox like that, man, if we drop $500 in that mailbox, $1,000 in the mailbox, if you look at it in the overall scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. And the convenience that it's created
really
for pedestrians and safety.
It cleans up the look.
Yeah, because that's very general.
But that's just the thought of how that will be dealt with. I'm not going to say that's how it's going to be dealt with.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll work through those things, and as we have that concept drawing come forward, that 60%, you'll see those kind of details shown on there, where we would take mailboxes and consolidate them, or how we would have to go around a pole, or if there's a pole that needs to be relocated, that'll be indicated on there, those types of things. So then you can actually sit down and look at the alignment and go right down the street and say, okay, in this place here, we had a conflict with a comm pole. Comm pole, there's nothing we can do, but it has to be relocated, or alternatively, we decided to loop the sidewalk around it, or we consolidated these mailboxes, or we need to go through that level of detail now.
Great. And you'll just let us know when you're ready to meet with us.
Yep.
Great.
So I think you guys are done.
Great. Yep.
Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Do you want to keep this, or?
You can grab it later, I guess.
No, I'm actually talking to them.
If for some reason Tim has to delay this project, we will come back with an update. So it's not going to be many, many months without some sort of an update being made.
Is the funding time sensitive in terms of that system?
No.
So we aren't going to lose a grant?
Nope. I see no reason why we would have any delays in this. There's no, like you said, there's no time frames associated with any of our funding or anything. We actually ran those by our consultants to see if they could do the design, and we didn't have the money for them to do the design and the construction, so that's why we decided to do it in-house. And so we're balancing this project, Third and Avery, Coast Park, and the sidewalks under the bridge at this moment. Those are the four projects that are in the design process at the same time. We're expecting all of those will end up going to bid in the spring, and so they're all sort of moving together because all those improvements make sense to do in sunny weather.
So how long do you think, once we get shovel ready and start this project, how long do you think it will take? Will it be done by the end of next summer?
It's the kind of contract that a small concrete contractor could do, a local contractor. And so what I generally do with things like that, unless there's a reason you have to be done at a certain time, we give them, you need to have this contract done by, say, as an example, September 31st. But once you start, you have 60 days or 90 days to do it, because I don't want him to start and then he's gone for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then come back and he's gone for 3 weeks. So you set up your contract that way. You got to be done by September 31st, but you can start on September 1st if you want and do it all then. Or you can start on July 1st and you have, 60 days to do it or 90 days to do it or whatever. The reason you do it that way and you give them some flexibility is because it allows the contractor to put it into his calendar with his other work. Because if you're forcing him to do it in a very tight time frame or in a very specific window, you'll see that in the costs.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
They will always bid high. They're like, well, I'm going to throw a highball number at it. And then if I get the job, great, I'll reschedule everything else. And so you allow the contractor flexibility in his timing. You hold him to the letter of the law in terms of how quickly he needs to get it done. But it helps you with your pricing. And so we can be very, very accurate in our estimates on pricing as a result of that. We'll be very close in what we're estimating. And I don't expect any issues. It's very straightforward. So, again, the devil's in the details. He doesn't want to worry about which mailbox gets moved. He just wants you to tell him to move the mailbox. We figure out those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to have Ted, because now things are really starting to move. Really starting to move.
Yeah, good.
I have one other thing. The loading zone that you talked about on Beach Street, can we talk about that, and then I can...
Yeah, I want to close off on that second item, though. So
okay.
You kind of went down part of that path, and so we could do that. We can talk about that. The second item here was the advisory committee role in project implementation, and Tim talked about it a little bit. This particular project's an anomaly for the Nye Beach District. You guys aren't going to see a $160,000 type project again, probably, in the life of the district. So, and we're all kind of learning kind of how this all works, but... one thing that, Tim was talking about, the communications with PUD, what that brought to light, though, was that, we hadn't, as a group, really talked about what the Nye Beach Parking District's general objective is here and what its role is relative. And this, I think, will help Tim, too, just even on the small projects, its role relative to Public Works, and if Public Works is doing the design work on this versus a third party that we contract with, which is another option that we have and may need to use at times because Tim's staff isn't going to be able to do everything all of the time. So the document was drafted purposefully not to be too detailed. And, you know, it borrows language just from the statute, which is that the purpose of the district is to develop a plan for implementation. It seems that probably also works most effectively when it's conceptual. You know, this is the conceptual plan, assist in putting the budget together for the district, you know, saying, okay, this is what we want to do, and can you get us some budget numbers for that? And then when we move into, and then identifying, is this something that we're going to be looking to contract out, because that's going to affect our budget numbers, or is this something that we'll be looking for Public Works staff to design and deal with? But when it gets to the design details at that point, and it's turned over, you know, the budget's adopted and it's turned over to Public Works, that Public Works would then do the design detail piece and then check in with the committee periodically to make sure that what they're doing is consistent with the conceptual project that was put into the budget. Does that all sound reasonable to you guys? I just wanted to close off that conversation a little bit, make sure we were all on the same page.
Yeah.
Tim, you had an add item, the loading zone thing.
This was actually a pretty good picture because there's cars parked out in that strip right now. We had a request from the business owner that owns the Chowder Bowl to do.
The request
was somewhat ambiguous because what's happening essentially is that people are parking in front of where his garbage cans are and he can't get his garbage picked up. And so we did a little research into what the current parking restrictions are on Beach Street. And that's what you see here. This is Beach Street right here, the north leg of Beach Street. You come in here, you come out here. This is where we did the stormwater improvements right in this region right in here. Right now, all of Beach Street, with the possible exception of right up in here, is all designated no parking. There's no signage up there, there's no striping up there, because it's all driveways, and there's a little bit of stretch right here down by the corner, there's some space. But technically, per ordinance, within 30 feet of an intersection is no parking automatically. Because that gives you the sight distance that you need in order to be able to pull out into the intersection without running somebody over, without getting hit. As soon as you get out of that corner there, there's not enough room to even park a vehicle anymore before you start getting into all the driveways. And it's not legal to park in front of a driveway. The only parking space that is left is up here in the end here. And the request is, the parking request is that the parking on the south side of the north leg of Northwest Beach Drive from 120 feet to 140 feet west of Northwest Coast Street shall be allowed but limited to loading and unloading with a time limit of 15 minutes. And so what they're proposing to do up in, make sure I'm pointing in the right place, right up in here, is to do a 15-minute loading zone so he can get his deliveries. Apparently a bunch of these businesses here get their deliveries in that same location. Mm-hmm. Leaves it open for them to get their deliveries, and for the garbage people to be able to come and pick up the dumpsters. And so that's the request at the moment. And
that's on the south side?
The south side, yeah.
How far up does that go?
It's only a 25-foot stretch that they're going to learn.
And then does it really, to which, impact? Is it just behind the Chowder Bowl or the
Sandbar? Yeah, it's pretty much right across the street from where Alpine comes in here. Uh-huh. It's just right in this little, it's kind of at the top of the hill there.
Okay.
Chowder Bowl and the Sandbar.
Yeah, those two restaurant back doors.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Completely. But the Sandbar, they have a driveway in there? That will still be, they can still park in that driveway?
They can park in their driveway. They're not allowed to park across their driveway, although they usually won't ticket the owner of the driveway for parking in his own driveway. But technically, there's no parking in front of the driveway anyway.
Yeah.
In front of the driveway.
The driveway is pretty deep, so that shouldn't be an issue.
If they could get in the driveway with their car, no problems. And the loading zone won't cross the driveway. It's just the curbs park outside of the driveway, kind of at the top of the hill. When you come up the beach, there's the hill, and then you come down again.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, I think.
It does.
I mean, they need to get their garbage picked up.
Yeah, he's had problems in the past.
Right now, what is it what does it count as?
Right now, it's actually just normal parking.
So does it change the available parking
like
for the Chattanooga? Does it affect their parking assessment?
Well, they don't actually provide public parking back there anyway, do they?
Sandbar counts their driveway.
Well, they have two actual parking spaces there.
In the driveway,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered,
sure
I don't know how they're assessed. Do you?
Not off the top of my head, no.
In terms
of
do they pay the full amount?
Chowder Bowl? Mm-hmm. I'd have to check.
Yeah.
And we don't need to have any commitment on this right at the moment.
Well, I think
but
it's
if
a
you want to go
idea.
Out and look, I can
I think
leave
that
a copy of this with
that's
you.
Just to make sure you have an answer to that, if in fact it's going to impact them where they're going to have to spend more money.
Mm-hmm. But as right. far as the actual, they're the one who put in the request, mm-hmm. right? So we're fine with it.
I don't know if they would have really known the ramifications of that.
Oh, right.
They might
yeah.
want to know the ramifications.
Uh-huh.
They might say, well, I don't really mean
that's
that anymore.
It isn't terribly big.
Yeah,
just to make
I
sure
my
that,
mind.
That we're not blindsiding them on something. Because
yeah.
I don't know.
And Chattanooga has no other parking
not
other than
permitted anyway.
Is it 30 feet from the?
See, they really don't have any parking.
Any parking?
No,
off street.
That's the only place that they could claim.
You know,
to try to reduce.
I'm not sure if they do or not. That's just to see. They may be paying the full amount.
And if they are, then it's inconsequential.
Yeah. You know, and
just
I would probably
people parking
line
on the street that are parking
that
in front of their garbage
because
cans
bump
anyway.
Essentially
well, just to make sure.
Away.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be good.
And there are a number of new businesses with, down know, there now who will be assessed the full amount.
That is curious.
Because
Mike,
Lucinda currently has
mark the
five businesses.
Mm-hmm. So that people aren't
four businesses
in there.
Because people do a lot.
Well, the vacation rental doesn't count. She has three on the ground.
And they're parked right out in that
three
corner there.
But we'll need to go through
the
assessment list
very,
at some point
very,
before
very,
fiscal
yeah,
year.
Where it's not legal to park.
Because
it's all going to be done at once.
All the time. Right. Yeah.
I think someone's got some
and now
what does happen when somebody licenses mid-year?
Well, right now we haven't been tagging because it's already been paid for that year.
So we haven't
been hitting them. But they'll be added to the list and they'll be responsible for the next year.
Even then, painting season is not necessarily upon us.
Not yet.
Right. Not yet.
So.
Okay. Tim, I'll check. I'll check on Chowder Bowl and let you know if that's going to have any impact.
I don't
on
think it does,
face.
But it's something that you don't want to
right.
surprise them.
Yeah.
But the consensus
yeah.
is it sounds like a good idea to do the loading zone there.
When the garbage truck is there, you can't come through. Mm-hmm. When he does garbage, you can't come up Beach Drive. You have to wait.
You can if he's close enough to the curb.
That's what I was wondering about where that loading zone is going to be because cars can't get around that.
Because that will also mean the beer trucks and the FSA.
I'll have to ask him. I'll have to ask Mike. I may have to go out there with him. Because if the loading zone doesn't allow traffic to get by, we can't mark it as
right.
a loading zone. It should be marked with no parking, period.
Where
that is,
you cannot go around them.
Well, and don't they get food deliveries at that same place?
I'm not sure. I would think so.
With those giant trucks.
I don't know which ones come through.
And they usually park a little further forward, so they're more behind the sandbar where the street is actually wider.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking of, where if that there's any adjustment on that loading zone to get it as far from the crest of that hill as possible.
Mm-hmm. Mike is pretty savvy. I'm assuming that he thought about that already, but I'll just double check with him before we make an authorization to do something that we're not basically blocking traffic by making a loading zone. So now you're going to, if it's no parking now and they're using it as a loading zone, and they're blocking traffic, then the cops become a ticket on them. You know, but if we make it a loading zone, then it's going to get tough if they're blocking traffic by parking there.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out.
When the FSA trucks park in the street because they can't park on the curb, is that ever, I mean, that's legal, right?
I don't think so.
No.
Because they do it all the time.
But they do it all the time. There's no place else for them to go.
Yeah.
It's one of those legality versus practicality, and you kind of, you know, sometimes.
You only enforce it if somebody's going to die over it.
Yeah. That's good to know. Yeah.
You know?
Or if they're
lots of stuff you just.
If the guys stop to go into McDonald's to get a sandwich, that to me is a little different than if there's no place else for them
well,
to
they
park.
Do park in the median.
And they're.
Across the McDonald's all the time.
Drives me crazy.
Moving product, and then they get out of there. I mean, they move pretty fast up by the Sylvia Beach.
Yeah, as long as they're
pretty quick.
I mean, that's how we used to look at it.
No,
they're on a time.
Yeah.
I'm told that's why this sidewalk is so badly busted up, is because the delivery drivers used to pull up onto it because there wasn't enough room.
Yeah.
It's all smashed.
Well, I like the no parking sign there now so that they can't.
Yeah, no parking sign needs to come down 4 or 5 feet.
Where you can see. What's that say?
I have a mental note to call Mike and see. I'm assuming he marked it at 7 feet. Yeah, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, it's a little high.
Devil's in the details.
Yeah.
I'm walking along, and I can't even reach that sign. I got 6-inch reach. That's a tall sign.
Tall sign.
I had something to bring up. It's related to this map, since Tim brought out this nice photo. And it has to do with the bank on where the arch is on Beach Street, and then this bank across the street. And that's the one that's so overgrown. And we have trimmed a little bit down there, but it's, I don't know if we should work with the Parks Department to get it trimmed back to the right-of-way or the property line.
Looking at
is all
picture,
we want.
Is the right-of-way shown by the sidewalk, or is it behind the sidewalk?
There's a survey.
For the sake of argument, the right-of-way probably is at the edge of the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. I can double check on that, but that's probably the case. And there's not a whole lot that actually overhangs. It's just a little bit in mm-hmm. here. But I would think you'd have to talk to the private property owners if you want to cut.
Yeah, we have talked to them, and they said you can, you know, cut, just don't disturb the soil, but mm-hmm. you can cut back what you want. But I think there's a survey marker at the edge of the where Rain Dance is, so like at the end of the sidewalk there.
There's also one back in here somewhere toward the dugout.
Yeah.
I found that one. But I don't know if that's marking the southern border or the... Mm-hmm.
It should be a corner.
Should be a corner.
Yeah.
And it's back in here.
But if we have a work party, do you see anything wrong with us cutting back to the property line? Is there, you know, aware of any legal issues?
Because we do that now and then.
Then the other thing is about the town square. This is another project that we don't have funding for yet, but we have talked to Troy about it. And it would be moving back into the property line there, and trying to make this like a town square. But there's these two big post things that for the arch.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd put in not another arch, but turn this into a town square, and have like a map and benches and a place to have musicians and that kind of thing. And Troy came out and looked at moving these two giant electric boxes, and it's prohibitive. But that's just something that he has been aware of. And
the thing with PUD is that they have a franchise agreement with us, and if their infrastructure is in the way of improvements in the public right of way, they are obligated to move those improvements.
Oh, they are.
Period.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why on the corner of 6th and High Street, they have to move a huge transformer and their power line that feeds all of the south part of Newport.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's what that line is that
no.
runs down 6th Street there that feeds all the power through that whole area.
Oh,
and so it is a
yeah.
big
oh,
deal for them. That's why it's not just moving a pole, it's moving their whole transmission network. And so you have to be a little particular because, you know, they have to move it,
but
they don't necessarily have to move it in accordance with your schedule.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's the hook on it.
Where would
so
they move it to?
If you have a public improvement project that you want to do here, I would pretend those vaults don't exist because they would simply have to move them elsewhere.
Where would they move them?
That's up to them.
Well, he looked at it and they
no.
can move them back.
Advanced timing yeah. with PUD speaks wonders. So if you do a grant application, all of a sudden you win some money, and you know, whoa, the next couple of years, next year, we can do this work. The first guy I call is PUD.
Yeah.
I got a project coming on here, and you're going to have to move some stuff because he has to put into his budget the money to do that work, you know, so.
Why did they put things in places like that in the first place?
Yeah.
Why do they put poles right in the middle of pedestrian ramps? I don't have any idea.
By the way, it doesn't work with undergrounding, by the way. If we have a
force,
we can't force it. I just want to...
No, but we're not.
We dumped a $500,000 in South Beach into undergrounding, and it's because that's not part of the franchise arrangement.
Yeah. They can put their stuff in the public right-of-way, and we can't force them to put it up or down. Although
we can with new
they
stuff.
They have to put in buried.
Yeah, the new stuff we can require is underground.
Uh-huh. So they could bury it in that same location. But
potentially they can bury that ball, yeah.
Well, I talked to Troy about it, but maybe I should pretend like I never did because
It doesn't matter. The law is the law.
That was when I first started here. We had to have them move something. They're like, well, it's going to cost this much. I said, great, because that your dime. And they will always try and defer the cost back to you if they can.
Okay.
It's kind of part of the way they do business.
Sure.
Not that they're surreptitious or being sneaky, but I mean, they have budgets to work with.
And
if they
can
get somebody to pay for it, they will.
Yeah.
So we don't want to approach this until the sidewalks are done.
Approach what?
This, moving this.
I wouldn't even talk to them about it.
No, well, not even.
I wouldn't even put it on his radar screen until you actually have a plan in place and some funding.
And when the other project's finished.
Yeah.
In case something weird.
When you're doing public improvements, man, I don't even think about existing power utilities because they just move.
We didn't know that.
And that is all public right of way.
You have the public right of way is there for the public good. And I mean, we work with them and try and make sure that we have space for them. You need to have power. You need to have, but. Basically, if they're there, we have to provide them a place to go. I can't just squeeze them out completely. Mm-hmm. But it's not to say that their box that is right here has to stay right there. They can bury it. They can move it 100 feet down the road.
Yeah, they can.
You know, so
cool.
Otherwise, I simply can't build up. You know, there's so many utilities in the road. I can't use it for putting in sewer and water and streets and the things that you got the public right away in the first place for.
So we could go ahead and down the pike have a really good plan in place 2 or 3 years down.
Yeah, you come up with a concept on what you want it to look like, and you say, PD, this is what we're going to do. You may want to start thinking ahead that this is going to happen.
Cool.
You know.
Yeah. So anyway, the town square.
But I would probably run that through me first, just to make sure that you're not getting him cranked up for anything that he really is not going to need to do.
Yeah.
You know, if the public works says, I'm sorry, we can't do this because, you know, we have a major sewer line that runs through there, and what you're proposing will,
It's not going to work.
Yeah. Mostly what we've talked about so far is just making it into kind of a little plaza.
Yeah.
So it's just making, getting those boxes out of the way and making, and there's a big power pole there that I think we can live with, but, I mean, it'd be nice if it was gone.
Be nice for us. Even move back to the other side of the sidewalk.
Yeah, and it takes some time to move that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
I don't know where. It took PUD 9 months to get the stuff in South Beach done. So.
Wow.
After we paid them.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We gave them a check, and then it took them 9 months to fill them.
So they don't have to work like the private contractors.
No, that's...
They don't get 60 to 90 days.
That's the trick. It's not getting them to move it. It's getting them to move it when you need them to move it. Yeah. That's the hard part.
So you don't want to make them too mad.
The power poles were paved in the street. We paved around them, and we just barricaded it off, and then eventually they moved, and we filled in the holes.
Wow. Gee.
Welcome to my world.
As long as you know the rules.
No, Tim, that's good. Thanks.
This is really good. That shows you how big this bulb out is.
I'll leave you this.
Yeah.
Because that describes where.
Good. Okay.
And, all right, well, thanks. I'll see
great.
You later.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot for getting that project going and together.
Yeah.
Derek, do you know of any grants offhand? Like TGM grants or something that might.
Well, there's certainly TGM, and but I'm not sure what's the project.
It's to create a town square. So we have a center meeting place when we have events like musicians. It'll be an information place with one of the town maps, benches. Just be like a meeting place, like meet you at the arch and make it a place where people can hang out. It's a great view of the ocean down Beach Street, so we'll have benches that are aligned with the ocean. There's a bench there now, but it just faces the Dapper Frog. It doesn't...
That's a tough one. Transportation growth management grants are really targeted at facilitating multiple modes of transportation, bike and transit, and in addition to vehicles. I'm not sure that's a real good fit for TGM. It's almost more of a recreational.
So it's saying parks.
So I was almost thinking like a parks type grant. Although, again, that's tough because it's a little bit removed from, parks tends to focus more on creating access to the ocean, for example, where ocean access doesn't exist or it's unsafe. I mean, it's they're a little more, we would call it basic. they tend to prioritize those types of basic projects higher than, say, the skate park or plaza. But that, you know, that would be a Parks and Rec grant. That's where I would go with it.
They fund the little park by a pig and pancake, and they fund the little park by was scanners and the clock. Mm-hmm. So those are all.
Oh yeah, that
only,
was that.
Those are only paid by city funds, and there's no grant money in those.
No grant money that I'm aware of. Correct. There is. You know, room tax funds can be used for this type of thing.
Oh, that would be fair then.
Because this is a tourism related facility.
Right.
If
yeah,
it's attracting tourism, okay. Then it can. Those funds. You know, I don't know how big the project is, but.
Well, if we don't have to pay for the PUD, it's not very big at all.
That's right.
PUD was going to be.
But that's not a parking district project, because it's not within the scope of the parking district's responsibilities.
It can be through the merchant association.
There we go.
We aren't a nonprofit.
I just want to make sure that the parking districts, we don't get attacked that the parking district's kind of swaying off course here.
Right.
So.
It has
Which
to do with walkability
use,
and the neighborhood.
We can't use parking district funds for that.
Right, right, but it does have to do with like walkability, I think. And
go through the merchants, I think. I think Linda's. That'd be a perfect merchants type project.
Yeah.
That ties it even closer to room tax anyway.
Yeah.
We use our clam bake proceeds. If
we don't have any proceeds.
It'd be nice if we got proceeds.
If you can match, though, that makes it more attractive to a conversation with the council. Any kind of match, even if it's just the merchants coming together saying, okay, if the council would be willing to allocate a certain amount of funds towards this project, we will come up with X amount of funds or something of that nature.
That would be great for the merchants to have a project like that.
It would. Yeah.
But
is Dave gone?
So, yeah.
Dave, just check out.
Say, wait a minute. Seems to be kind of busy today.
He's just going to pop back in.
Well, anyway, Derek, if you happen, something happens to come across that seems like it would be sort of a grant, any new thing.
It'd be a park and rec is the one that would fit. That's where you get things like Coast Park is grant funded. Mm. Skate parks have been grant funded. Community type recreational would be the place, but. You know.
The tourism money is.
I think
perfect.
The tourism is probably the better angle.
Yeah.
I don't know that it would compete well with the other park grants.
No. I thought that
and
big
it's tough to put a ton of resources into a grant when you figure your chances aren't that good.
True.
I thought the that big monolith for the Deco District was a parks, some kind of a state parks grant. The design for that area near the at
Room
Herbert
tax.
And Coast. I thought they had a parks.
I think the original
to do the design work.
I don't. You know, it's possible. I'd have to dig into it, but I don't. I know the construction's city. It's been a big issue.
Okay. Well, I'll ask.
There's
Pete.
There's no grant. Yeah. There's no grant funding at this point for construction of that.
Yeah. I realize that, but they did have somebody draw up plans for it.
Well, the city center area in the past also has engaged. I mean, when you're doing conceptual planning for trying to kind of do a main street look and things of that nature, you can work in some other elements as part of that, what is largely a transportation document. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can't work in art pieces and things like that, but that's just conceptual. When it gets down to the actual funding and construction, that's where it's tougher to come up with grants. Okay, I just wanted to put out there preliminary discussion about, we'll have to start talking about the upcoming budget here pretty soon. The positive is, you know, and we just talked about this the project, 3rd and 6th, was not Night Beach Parking District funds. That was system development charges and Night Beach's allocation of the public parking fund. Okay, so public parking funds out, which means the pool of funds you guys have to work with is more modest. The striping and signage work, we were just billed for materials from Public Works, not labor.
Well,
so
nice.
you're gonna have an available balance on that.
That was nice.
Assuming we don't have to try to yank some of that in to finish off the sidewalk project, so which I think will be okay. I think.
Well, at least it's there, and it's not going to have to be dug up from some other place.
So I would think that you're probably safe at about 10,000, you know, maybe 15,000 in terms of your overall available funds for projects for next year. If you want to think about
for 12-13.
Yeah. So you might, you know, I know there was a some crosswalk. There was a crosswalk up by. Mm-hmm. Your business, actually, up here, right? That you might want that as a potential project. I'm thinking it'd be modest things like that. I don't know if there's some additional work that can still be done, or if things are okay now with the dry cleaners. I know we talked about putting in some curb stops at some
Nothing
point.
Nothing really has happened there.
Yeah. Well, actually, I know that Doug talked to Bruce, and they decided the curb stops weren't necessary because he's made his drivers park behind the sidewalk, and they've been really good about that.
Mm-hmm.
They have not parked hanging over the sidewalk. The other issue, though, is here at the garage.
Yeah,
can be done there.
Yeah, I know.
Is this a driveway or not?
Yes.
So it is it's his driveway, and he can park in it.
Mm-hmm. But he can't hang over the sidewalk. And that's the issue there. But I don't know what we could do about that.
His trucks are so long, unless they're touching the building, they're out in the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And then,
but I think here we're good. I think
we just need this vegetation.
Oh,
some of it needs
to
trim
back.
Put
a bollard up on the edge of the sidewalk. That's.
Well, then he just run over him.
Yeah.
It's counterproductive. But anyway.
What about moving the lighting on Beach Drive onto the sidewalk and out of the street?
That'd be great.
How expensive would that be?
Moving the lighting.
Because right now you park between the lights, and you have the bollards to consider, and they've been put to protect the lights.
Yeah, it was all part. That was all part of that.
Right.
Urban renewal
project.
Because down at the bay, they're down against the buildings on the bayfront,
and they arc out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they don't impinge on that parking at all.
Where is it? Where would I look to see that lighting?
What block is that, Derek, that they did the new lighting? Is it from the corner by Sharks?
Is it down to
the
street pier anyway, I think.
Yeah, okay. It's the, what do you call it, the westernmost or the southernmost, whichever angle you're going with.
Yeah,
okay.
The section down there is where all of the lighting was done.
It would sure be nice to get those out of the street.
Because we would
allow for
parking.
Probably give you two more parking spots, mm-hmm. and it means you're not always having to repair the stuff that's being run into.
One thing that wasn't tackled was the striping of the lot proper.
Oh, and they were going to resurface that lot, too, before we did that.
No
so
money.
That,
yeah.
No money.
No money. That was we couldn't find the money.
Well, is there much point in striping it?
That's why they didn't stripe it.
That's why we didn't, yeah.
Stripe the upper and the middle, but not the lower. Is that right?
That may have been the case. I haven't been out there.
I believe they striped the top and the middle, but the bottom is in such bad shape.
Yeah. Even the top and the middle is pretty bad now.
Mm-hmm. But they were able to at least get the paint to stick.
Well, I'd love to pursue somehow, somewhere, that machine that does the glass bead painting, that's like permanent tattooing on the street.
Did you want to walk around a little bit and then maybe at the next meeting come up with a list of specific projects to start prioritizing? Or
Derek, you had on there about the electrical budget for the PAC and that.
Yeah.
I mean, we still haven't, because that potential expansion of the PAC,
right.
that would
mm-hmm.
it would somehow influence that. But for now, it seems like it could be better lit. And anyway, we should look at that.
Room tax pays for the lighting of the PAC.
Oh,
it does?
Yes.
You finally found that.
Ah,
if room tax pays for it, there's no reason it shouldn't be turned on longer.
That's potential.
Yeah.
Well,
the whole problem was we thought the PAC paid for it, and they didn't want their bill to be high, keeping it lit late at night.
Well, what I have for finance is that room tax pays for all of the PAC lighting.
Okay. Inside and outside.
Inside and outside.
Wow.
Understand.
So
it would be going to probably city council and asking that be authorized, or to Destination Newport, or
why? What about asking Catherine if she could adjust the timer? I mean, I don't. or talking to her about it.
That's going to increase our bill, like, and the budget that's given for that right now would increase that budget.
I think it would be a good thing to take through the budget process as a parking district priority so that, so that that conversation can happen in that context, and everybody understands that if that's a green-lighted deal, how it's going to all work. That would seem to make sense to me. And
so bring it through, and it may end up being funded through room tax.
You're going to need to make a pitch. Yeah, you'd say, yeah, it should, if you guys think it should be done by room
tax. It's no different than our sidewalks. A lot of those are being funded by system development charges.
Right.
In
versus, I mean, the only other alternative is to say that, that somehow the parking district would make a contribution, but you guys have limited enough funds.
And if that's how it's currently paid, if room tax pays the electric bill,
yep,
then we just ask that they keep the lights on longer and pay a little more.
But I think we ought to run it by Catherine first before we go to the room tax committee, or just I'll talk to her, or just say that's what the finance director says.
Yeah, here's again, just kind of going to the performing, because that also begs that other conversation. Again, here's where Jim Portiva was at. Jim does not want any member of his, he's not prepared to do anything in the landscaping to open up view corridors for parking unless there's some consensus in the area that that's a good thing, because he's been burned in the past, so he just doesn't want to do it. And so,
isn't there a committee now with PAC dealing with that? Or not?
I don't think so.
I think it has more to do with their expansion, right?
I think a lot of it.
Or their hopes for expansion.
I think they have they did form
a beautification committee or something, or?
Well, it seems like we could just all talk to Catherine about that and the lighting thing, or if, I mean, it seems like she, because she's always said she paid for it, so it seems like it'd be good to run it by her and say, hey, look, Catherine, we'd like them on longer.
That's what finance told me.
And,
okay.
And
that's really good information.
And then go to the budget, or then go to room tax committee and say, if we could get the budget figure from, if it's a separate budget item then?
Is,
I think we can work on that. I mean, I think we want to get a good sense of what periods of time, you know, are we talking about? How much longer are we talking about? I think we just need to kind of get a better plan of attack.
Well, in our
and
original,
we can tackle the budget side of it, because we're not going to be able to calculate anything unless we know how many additional hours we're talking about here.
Right. But our original impetus was when Quimby's was still open, and their staff leaving late at night, you know, the gal taking the money out late at night, and no lit parking. Since there's no restaurant there right now, would it just? They would probably leave their lights on for an event anyway.
There is so much foot traffic now in the evening going up, especially the west side of Coast Street, and crossing over and walking by the PAC, going back to Fairhaven, walking back to Elizabeth Street Inn, walking back to the Shiloh. Okay. People are doing a lot of walking.
So that would
they really are.
Pedestrian
it would make it safer.
Well.
Yeah,
is the PAC in our jurisdiction to deal with? Well, it isn't. It's not the parking district.
No. Where is the lighting? Is it underneath those overhangs?
I think there's a couple of
I was thinking
type
we could
lights
deal with the landscaping, but it's not
lighting
in the
and the parking
district.
Structures, which are getting torn down.
Getting torn
no
down.
Map here. Nope.
I mean, in the
you're right. It's not in the district. Mm-mm.
So that means the Merchant Association has to go after it.
But well, we're putting so a sidewalk project that isn't even
right,
in the parking
just,
district.
If it's going to improve parking in the district or relieve parking in the district, I think it's reasonable enough.
Because if we could get funds through
the district. Because I went through that with Bayfront when we were forming there was the last district, and that issue would come up. I said, no, we don't need to form funky little tendrils to theirs, because they were looking at going up the some of the streets.
To do all the pruning that we really would like to see done so people see the parking could be paid for by the parking district.
Yep.
Well, we talked about originally hiring or even having a gardener
to help. We can't do that because everything goes through the city. We aren't the hiring agent.
But I did talk to Jim about it once, Protiva, once about if we were going to have somebody to keep up the planters or do certain things. He said, that's fine. Hey, you know, he was like, please hire somebody to help me, because he only has the one guy. But
we, though, then have to have that authorized by the city.
Yeah.
We can't just...
Well, we put it in our budget. No, we're not going to go... Like, we can't write checks.
No.
That would be then a fair thing to work on, just trying to get the landscaping more parking friendly.
Yeah.
And the lighting.
And the lighting. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of foot traffic up there.
There is, a whole lot.
Is there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so it's more than just restaurant people or employees. It's
our tourist group.
Well, then we want to make it
you
safe
see
for them.
Packs of people walking in the morning, coming down, and packs in the evening going back.
I wonder if we could get a tourism grant to help fund that.
You guys would probably have enough funds to tackle that this fiscal year if you want to. In terms of the we didn't spend as much on the, and I budgeted a cushion for you for things at the time was like stop bars and things of that nature, mm-hmm. or targeted sidewalk repairs. So I don't imagine the landscaping stuff's going to be that expensive at the end of the day.
There have been so many times this year that parking has been a premium because the sunsets have been so beautiful and the days have been so nice. They fill Don Davis Park. They park on First. They park on Second. And it's bumper to bumper in some of those times. And we've been told parking is not needed at Don Davis Park except for, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like the church days when the lot's full. Yeah. It's so many other times of the year that we still need additional parking there. People are hesitant to walk across the street to the pack. That would be another thing for a good marked crosswalk. And then they don't see that there's parking because there's vegetation. They see the sign, but they don't read the sign.
Yeah.
So if we can make that more appealing for people to park in that.
So that takes us back to that project that we had talked so long about, is that extended parking at Don Davis.
Mm-hmm. And the RV parking across the street on the west side of the pack.
Now you're starting to get into stuff, though, that's going to be beyond your budget capabilities.
The landscaping
and not
the
to mention
pack,
the issue
though,
we're going to have with Park and Rec and about using portions of Don Davis Park for formal parking. Because once we trigger over 5 parking spaces, it has to be paved under the city's code.
But if it's, but I thought if it there's a
overflow parking.
Yeah, if it's overflow parking, it can be gravel. Is what Don Davis said.
Well, things that must have changed.
Yeah.
It's like Panache; they didn't have to pave anything except for their handicap parking, and they have more than 5 spaces in their lot.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to pave it.
How did they get away with that?
Same with Illingworth's. They have more than 5 spaces and it's not paved. So requirements have changed over time.
Mm-hmm. I think one of our biggest priorities is keeping vegetation cut back everywhere.
Let's look
you know,
at that.
I mean, I think that's a real priority.
The vegetation cutback would improve the visibility for parking.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think
vegetation and lighting.
And this thing on Coe Street there around the arch, that is a real issue. I mean, it grows up and hangs over.
Well, Jim Protiva said we can borrow Larry any time we want, as long as he's not on another project.
Well, can he get on a ladder and cut that back?
It's pretty hard to keep getting volunteers to do that. Let's make it a project where you pay someone and it gets done.
I know. That's what I think we should, because we've been spinning our wheels over that thing.
We just put Band-Aids on things. That's all we've been able to do.
Yeah.
And so then that gives us some ideas. We're looking at vegetation.
And then
we're looking at lighting.
And the RV parking thing.
If we deal with, as Derek said, that's going to get into Parks and Rec stuff, and that part of the property is not in our parking district.
Right.
But we can still...
The PAC has adequate parking. We just have to make people know it's there. And if that then becomes full, and say, okay, the PAC is always full, then we say, okay, let's find some other parking. The PAC is there, it's available, it doesn't get used, because it's just not visible.
Yeah.
People don't know about it.
Has Dolphin Street been vacated by the city? Or is that still a city street behind the PAC, on the west side of the PAC?
I had heard rumors that there's still
there's some
a
stuff
city
there with
street
their
there,
renovation
so I'm suspecting it hasn't
I
been
I think
vacated.
It is. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is.
Because, yeah, I had heard that. I haven't looked into it in any detail because they're so far away. They're not, I mean, they're just conceptually talking about
right.
changes out there. They don't have...
No, I think we've got some good projects to look at.
Yeah.
So vegetation, lighting, at least one crosswalks.
Mm-hmm.
One, if not more. It sounds like there might be more than one.
Well, it might be nice to have something really well marked between the pack and the north side of Coast Street, of Olive. So people see, hey, I can park my car and I can walk across this striped median and even have it signed.
From the Quimby's Corner would probably be the best
yeah.
place because that's pretty much where it stops mm-hmm. at the pack.
Right.
Right across from there.
So vegetation management, it's not just at the pack, it's locations.
Yeah.
If you
yeah.
guys are gonna
probably three major locations, don't
yeah.
you think?
And
this,
you know that,
this and the pack.
Yeah, and that cross area there for parking would also be helpful for the kids at Coast Park because
since
they don't have restrooms there
yet. Oh, that's
yet,
another park. They have to use the restroom at Don Davis.
At Don Davis. So that would make it very visible.
It
that
would.
This is a crossing
And
area.
That's another reason to get the funding, and it may be able to come mm-hmm. not just from our parking district. They
but
may find some other money to make to work with that.
Yeah,
that's good.
Because that's critical.
Yeah.
Bathrooms are in the plan, but not yet.
Right.
So.
Okay.
One thing several people have asked me about is if they have some comments on the parking district, who do they submit those
to? Derek.
Submit them to me, and then I'll filter them up to you guys.
Yeah.
So just Derek.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I'm sorry, I have to leave.
Okay.
I'm
you guys,
today.
Did you guys want to set a date or for our next meeting?
Yeah.
I think we should.
Well, we have to get ready for budget, right?
Yeah. So I would think probably the next 4 weeks would be a good time, sometime early February.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab my phone real quick.
Tuesday the 14th, I have to be in Florence. Would not, but anyway. And it doesn't have to be Tuesdays.
Right.
Jody's going to be back in February. I don't know. I think
she'd
that's
be able
right.
to come, but I don't know what her work schedule is.
By the way, on parking stickers, I just want to let you know. City Center decided not to do it, but Bayfront might want to. They're just starting, but they're just starting, so.
Another year.
Yeah, and so I'll get you some numbers. In terms of what it's going to cost, we may want to just go ahead and do it near
term.
And we'll
also know how many people are using them, because you already know how many.
Yeah,
have been.
About 50
okay.
at this point. In terms of the door hangers that we've mm-hmm. done, and I'm going to have to do one final order, I think, on the door hangers.
Okay.
It's for residents and family. Those are the ones that we really have been using
right.
a bunch. Not
because I
not
haven't
lodging.
Used very many at all. I think I've given out 3 or 4.
But we started this at the end of the.
Throughout the summer.
In the summer, so not sure how that'll all play out.
Yeah, is there any way to get an idea if there have been any citations given?
I can check the police department.
I had a little complaint by a customer of mine the other day. She came in and said she parked in front of Toujours, the last parking space there right mm-hmm. by the crosswalk, and she came in and she said, that parking guy told me I could either move or get a ticket. And she was hanging into the crosswalk like this bar. He was really rude. You can either move that vehicle or I'm giving you a ticket. So she moved forward 2 feet. But I thought that was inappropriate.
I was
so you guys, I have to go.
Okay.
So go ahead and set a meeting and just let me know.
Just
right.
not the 14th, right?
Right.
Okay.
Does the revenue, well, do we pay for the parking enforcement and then we don't have to pay for any of that?
No, I think that the
it's
revenue from the tickets is
yeah,
used to pay for it.
They've been,
okay, so that's kind of its own separate little budget cycle there.
Well, yeah. There's something different happening with that now. The city was collecting the funds. Now it sounds like the money is going to go to TCV.
Oh, really?
From that the enforcement and the collection. I read something in the paper about that.
Yeah, I'd have to talk to the police department.
Yeah.
But, I mean, conceptually, the... you want to call it revenue, the proceeds from tickets are supposed to offset your expenses for enforcement.
Right.
Now, how that works exactly, I don't know.
Well, you've got to give tickets so that you can pay for it, and that means that they need to be on site and looking at people.
Right.
We still have owners who choose to park in front of my business, but they don't stay 3 hours. I don't know why Joey Dana can't walk. Just drives me crazy.
I have only had, I think I've had one or two people come in and say they'd like to do stickers instead of door hangers. Mm-hmm. Just because of the convenience.
Yeah.
Having to put those door hanger things up on your dashboard all the time is kind of a pain.
And it's a reasonable expense, I think. I think it would be a good way to do it. So what's a good day for you for meeting?
If we're looking at, it'd be the 15th or the 16th of February would be good dates for me, or the 8th would be okay as well.
The 8th would be a merchant meeting.
Okay.
That's at 9.
So I could have done the 14th, but Kathy can't do it. So.
What about 15th or 16th then? What do you think, Wendy?
Either one's all right with me.
15th's fine by me. 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Do we need anybody else here or just us? We're going to start thinking budget, aren't we?
We're talking budget. I wrote down vegetation, lighting, and crosswalks. Hopefully, if you could, between now and then, kind of walk around and identify areas for vegetation so we get a better sense of what the scope of that is. That would be helpful if there are other projects that come to mind other than what we talked about.
Can I borrow your pen?
Sure.
Did you say the 15th or 16th?
15th.
Okay.
10 o'clock.
I don't know if we want to touch base with Protiva or not. I mean, I don't want to waste this time.
In terms of the pack, I'd suggest you talk to Catherine just to get a sense of what her expansion stuff is and say, hey, look, we as a committee, we're talking about, you know, really wanting to get some traction on opening up view corridors.
Mm-hmm.
How can we best do? I mean, do you guys have? You said you thought they might have a committee or something. Ask her.
I'll
who can you guys
her.
Plug into over there to make sure, you know, so that
we can coordinate actually a committee. But and then, yeah, I think we need it.
And that'd also be a good time to give her a heads up about the expansion of the lighting hours.
Yeah. And, well, they did take down the for lease signs at Quimby's. I don't know.
I'm still a little fuzzy about, I mean, what are we talking about in terms of hours? I mean, we're talking about at what point?
Yeah, probably 11 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but part of it's just going to handle of when it gets dark and how long the lights. I mean, when do they shut off now?
I don't know.
Okay.
It depends. If they have an event, they stay on. But they, from about the middle of December on, they haven't had events on the weekends. Or
I'll have to look
really
when
dark.
I leave work. Of course, now it's getting daylight when I leave work. It's still daylight. It's not dark at 5 anymore.
Yeah, but so this is largely a winter deal we're talking about. And
then in the summer, I mean, if they could be on from like 9 to 11.
Let me do some digging in terms of just who's, you know, what's the timing on the pack lights. Just to get it, because if it gets at some point, this becomes a budget issue. We're going to have to be able to say, yeah, we're talking about shifting it on such and such date to X hour instead of Y hour.
And this is going to be too. You've got folks who are going to be parking there even in the evening and having their kids play.
And should it be adjusted for that purpose as well?
And they don't have any lighting in that park, do they?
No,
talk
there's
to
no
Protiva
parking.
About that.
Parking is not parking.
That I know, Mark McConnell has really wants to go with LED lighting as much as possible, and he has said they're going to tear down those parking structures in the pack, which have some lighting in them. And if the lighting is all replaced with LED lighting, at least the cost of operation goes way down. The initial cost of purchasing it is way up, but if this was then the budget that's paying for the lighting in it, and they replaced it. But, I mean, that's years off.
That's,
I mean,
yeah.
But still, I don't know.
Okay.
It's just so black there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something we'll work on.
All right.
We've talked about it. Now we're going to work on it. Well, thanks very much.
Yeah, you bet. All right, I've got it. 15th.
Derek, I have a question about the PUD. Isn't there a percent of PUD per